Your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 13. So Hebrews 3 and Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to, the title of this message, you can see it up there, is What's in Your Mix, kind of off the spoof off of What's in Your Wallet, off the Capital One commercials, but this is called What's in Your Mix. I do want to make mention of something else as well, as we've got our new bulletins in for June. They're for June, July, and August. I have lots of people talk about how that these bulletins or these devotionals bless them, because it's just a real short devotional for a scripture for the day and a little paragraph about it. They're really good. So get one. They're free. Get as many as you want for your family, for friends, for coworkers, even if they don't go to church here, because we have to order a minimum of 250, so we have plenty. And then I want to thank Robin Penry for pointing this out, but on this edition, of they have a deal where you can download an app on your smartphone for our devotional, and I talked to the person that did this, and they released this, and they don't have it quite right yet. It's not fixed, so they're working on it. They're supposed to be taken care of in a couple weeks, so keep trying to download the app. They're working on it. It should be done sometime this month. And is everybody ready for commercials to be over and get into the Word? Okay. All right. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 13, and there's going to be a lot of scriptures in between, and if you've taken notes on the back of your bulletin, you can write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, not 3 points, but 6 points today. And I've already told my dad that we're going to be out of here in time. Now, he's got to drive 45 minutes home, but we're going to be out of here in time to watch the Sooners play softball this afternoon and beat Washington twice to make it to the finals of the College World Series. We're big softball fans around here. I'm a big softball fan. I've been watching it, so it's going to be an exciting day watching those games this afternoon. But whenever I was studying for this, and I know that I try to bring messages as a pastor where the rubber meets the road, that, you know, we're saved, we know the Lord, but I need help in everyday life and walk in this walk of faith. Is that you? That's me too. I need that. And so here a bit, you know, last week's message, I encourage you to get it. It's called Fight for Your Harvest, and I've heard lots of things of how that really helped people in their walk and fighting for their harvest. But as I've been studying the Gospels, and when the disciples were walking with Jesus, they saw a lot of things. They saw Jesus do a whole lot of, you know, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, saw him healing people and raising the dead and healing the blind and all those things. But they spent a lot of time with Jesus, you know, walking with him. I mean, they stayed together, these guys, as they traveled and did ministry. And there was two things that I noticed in Scripture that the disciples asked Jesus about. The first one was they saw his prayer life. They said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? We want to learn how to pray like you pray, because your prayer is getting results. We see that things are happening when you pray. Then the other thing that they saw in Jesus' life was they said, we want you to increase our faith. Our faith in God the Father is not like yours. You've got some kind of faith going on that we don't. And so they asked him to increase our faith. So I'm praying that this message today is going to help you increase your faith. Amen. And strengthen your faith today. But we're going to learn, the Bible talks about that we can learn from people throughout all the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can learn from people in the Old Testament, learn from them. They're in the Word for our example to learn from. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, it's actually talking about something that happened back in the Old Testament, back in Numbers chapter 13, and we'll get to Numbers 13 here in a little bit. But it's actually, I'm going to give you kind of a background of where this story is in Hebrews 3. It's actually talking about the children of Israel, when they were about to cross over into the promised land. And before they went, God told Moses to send forth 12 spies into the land, one spy representing each tribe. Go over there, check it out. You know, this is a land that I'm giving to you. I want you to go see it. You know, God was wanting their faith to become sight. And so they go over there, these 12 guys, and they see, they see a land flowing with milk and honey. They see a prosperous land. The Bible even talks about, and I'll encourage you to go read it in Numbers 13, that they actually came back with grapes from over there that they had to carry. Two guys had to carry a cluster of grapes on a stick. That's big grapes, guys. I don't think we've ever seen grapes that big, but that's big grapes. And they brought that back to show the people to increase their faith and to say, this is a land that God has given to us. Let's go get it. But they, most of you in here know the story. They didn't get to cross over because they didn't have the faith to go take it. The Bible says they were full of unbelief, except for two guys, Joshua and Caleb. And we're going to talk a little bit about them here in a little bit. But 10 people went over there, saw the same thing that Joshua and Caleb did, but 10 people talked close to a couple of million people out of going into what God's promises are. So you need to be careful who you listen to.
Amen.
Amen. Make sure you're listening to God. And here, let me go ahead and read this in Hebrews 3, and I'll go ahead and I've got the scriptures up here for you. In Hebrews 3, and in my Bible, I went ahead and put the title up there, The Failure of the Wilderness Wanderers, and where they failed at was their faith. And I want to tell you this, because a lot of people think, well, God, you're kind of mean. You kept them from going in. No, God didn't keep them from going in. They kept themselves from going in because of their unbelief and their lack of faith. And I believe that in here, guys, there's a lot of you that, and I was thinking about myself, I don't want to get to heaven one day and realize what life could have been if I'd have just walked more by faith.
Amen.
Amen. I think, you know, and there's a, you know, I was thinking about a story of, there was a time, and we don't think anything of it now, but there was a time where they were talking about the 4-minute mile, and they were saying that there was nobody could do a 4-minute mile. Finally, somebody believed and had faith enough that they could do it, and they did it. They beat the 4-minute mile, and now a lot of people do it because somebody led the way and did it. That's faith. That's the divine energy of God. I guarantee you we are capable of doing more. You're capable of doing more than what you realize because you have God inside of you.
Yes.
You have the faith, the God kind of faith on the inside of you, but we have to exercise it. We have to use it. Okay, so let's get in Hebrews 3, verses 16 through 19. It says, "For who having heard, rebelled. Indeed, they heard what God said. They knew what God had said, but they still rebelled against it. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness?" They stayed in the wilderness and wandered in the wilderness for the 40 years until that generation died off. And then the next generation went in. Verse 18, and it says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Everybody say unbelief.
Unbelief.
All right. Now, when you read in the King James Version, it talks about how, and I'm not going to read that, but I'll just tell you what it says. It says that those 10 of the spies came back and brought an evil report. And we think, evil. They were just reporting what they saw. But here's what they reported: what they saw, what they felt, and what they heard. But here's the deal, and it was all true. Everything that they said was true, but it disagreed with what God said. And that's why it was an evil report. God had already told them, "This is your land, it's yours." And they come back saying what they saw, what they felt, what they heard, and they basically were saying, "We're not able to do this." And Joshua and Caleb said, "We're more than able to do this because God is with us." All right, so now let's jump over to, this is the end of chapter 3 in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, that's the end of it. Now we jump into Hebrews 4. This is all, we separate it by chapters and verses, but this was all written together. It says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." And that's Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. And so the reason why it didn't profit them and the reason why they couldn't go into the promised land is because they not being mixed with faith. Joshua and Caleb did, but the other 10 didn't, and they talked the rest of them out of it. So what's in your mix? Look at somebody and say, what's in your mix? This is what was in their mix. They spoke their fears, and their fears paralyzed them. That's what happened that day. They spoke their fears, and their fears paralyzed them. Now I want you to look at somebody and say, your tongue is the mixer. We have got to speak words of faith over our situations and circumstances. And you got to keep the faith. You may have to speak it a whole bunch until you start getting it down in here. Now, I'm going to give you real quickly today, because we got to get home and watch the Sooners play, is I got to give you six reasons why you have to speak what God said. Because a lot of times I get to thinking, God, why do we have to pray? God, why can't we just believe and act on it? And that's part of faith, believing and acting on it. But there's a part of it that God began to speak to me about in my own walk with the Lord is, Mark, what's in your mix? I've got to have you speaking in the earth what I'm speaking to you. I don't need you just believing it and acting on it. That's part of it. But I need you speaking it for it to come to pass, because we were created in the image of God. So here's six reasons why you have to speak what God said. And here's number one, and I could stop right here and we could go home, is because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. He said in Mark 11:23, this is Jesus speaking, he says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." The disciples saw this in Jesus' life. They saw when this man says it, it's done. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about faith. Even though these guys were around Jesus all the time and they saw this in Jesus' life, there was even a Roman centurion that saw this. And he came to him and was saying, "Hey, you know, I got a person at home that's sick." And Jesus said, "Well, hey, let's go. Take me to him." And this Roman centurion who was over soldiers, he said, "Jesus, I've seen you at work. I've seen your ministry. I've been around you. I've heard about you. I've even watched you. And I know this about you. And I understand authority. All I've got to have you do, sir, is speak the word of God and he'll be healed." And Jesus is like, "Whoa, man." Jesus is like, I hadn't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And he said, "Because you've said this, he's well." And he was. That's the power of the spoken word. Even a Roman centurion saw that in Jesus. And Jesus said so. So look at somebody and say, "Jesus said so." All right, here's number two. Number two, speaking the word gets the word into your heart. It's not just we have these devotionals, and I encourage you to get in them. I encourage you to get in the word of God every day. That's why I've sent out a scripture every morning, get you in the word of God. But I want you to speak it out loud. Speak the word over your life, over your situations, your circumstances, over your kids, over your jobs, over your careers, and watch the word work. But you've got to speak it. Speaking the word gets the word into your heart. And this is Matthew 12:34, Jesus saying it again, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." If you want to get to know somebody, just get around them for a little bit and see what starts coming out of their heart. And what's coming out of their heart is coming out of their mouth, and that's what's in their heart. Everybody understand that? Okay. I've heard people say this, "I was so worried, I just prayed all night." If you had prayed in faith, you would have went to sleep.
Yes.
All right. And this is another phrase that I heard somebody say, "If you're going to pray, why worry? And if you're going to worry, why pray?" And that is so true. And there's a scripture that I wish it wasn't in the Bible. Have you ever had those scriptures where you wish it just wasn't in the Bible? Because I've worried, guys. I've been concerned. I've fretted. I've stayed up at nights. I've done all these things in here. But Romans 14:23 says, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." So if you're a worry wart, that is sinning. And you need to repent of it and say, "God, help me increase my faith." Now, yeah, God help me too, Judy. God help me. Because I have worried myself sick sometimes. And you can. I mean, it's even been proven through doctors that you can worry yourself sick. And so God doesn't want us to be sick. God wants us to be healed and walking in divine health. But we have to give this to God, and we have to speak. We have to speak. We have to speak. All right. Here's number three. You speak what you believe. You speak what you believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." What you believe, I promise you, what you believe, whether good or bad, is going to get in your mouth and it's going to come out. So if you're not speaking the word, then you don't believe it. Amen. Amen. Well, that's not shouting ground, is it? So we got to be speaking the word. You speak what you believe, so you got to be speaking the word. Here's number four. Number four, speaking comes first. I'm going to show you this in the word. Speaking comes first. The world that we see today, everything that we see today, was created by the spoken word of God. God said, let there be light, let there be all these things, and it was. So the spoken word creates faith. Speaking comes first. And this is in Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. You can't get saved until you speak first. And I love this. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Amen. And all you got to do is say, I need Jesus. You're saved. That's it. Yeah, there's more to it after that. I mean, you're going to start this walk with God and everything. But you know what? We don't have to be all perfect. No. Nobody in here is perfect. I'm not perfect. The three young men that I knew that passed away were not perfect. But this is what I do know about each one of them. Each one of them did what Romans 10, 8 through 10 talks about. They had spoke Jesus' word with their mouth. And they said, I'm in need of a Savior. And they're in heaven today. I believe that with all of my heart. Everybody said amen. Amen. Guys, the spoken word is what creates faith. And here's a better way to say it. And this is why I close every message here at church with giving everybody the opportunity to, with their own mouth, to confess Jesus. Is this: Jesus becomes personal to you when you speak his name. Amen. I need you, Jesus. And he becomes your personal Lord and Savior. And he starts helping you live a Christian life. He starts working with you. Some are able to work with him a lot quicker than others. Some of them have hard heads. Some of them are like the children of Israel and rebel and do things and be disobedient. Is anybody in here? I've done that too, rebelled and been disobedient and stuff. And God loves us anyway. Amen. Amen. So, but the thing that pleases God is our faith. Okay, here's number five. Number five. Speaking is working the work of God. A lot of times we think that we've got to go out here and do all this religious stuff and everything. And there's some, yeah, you know, I understand some of that. But what God is after is after our hearts, and he wants us to begin to speak his word and speak life over situations. So speaking is working the work of God. And this is James 2:26. Says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that works is speaking the word of God, is speaking. You are a speaking spirit created in the image of God. And that's what separates us from the animals. You're a speaking spirit. You were created in the image of God. And God is saying, this is what God's saying up in heaven, I need some speakers in the earth. The young people are looking at me going, yeah, God needs some speakers. Yeah, he needs you thumping the bass and all that kind of stuff. He needs you speaking his word into the earth realm is what he needs. Okay, here's number six. Is this helping everybody? Amen. All right, you're going to leave here today speaking the word, aren't you? Okay, here's number six. Your words are the spirit and life of your faith. And this is John 6, verse 63. And Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So the words you speak release spirit life into your faith. So, you know, and that's why in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 18, that's why it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're either speaking life over your situations or you're speaking death. You need to speak God's word over your whatever you're going through. So you got to get your saying in line with your praying. You do. How many of you have ever prayed in faith and then within the hour after you prayed, you're already speaking death and speaking the wrong things over you? I've done it. You know, so you've got to get your saying in line with your praying. And I'm going to give you, this is what I'm going to give you in closing today. I'm going to give you an example out of the Word of God out of somebody in the Old Testament, and this guy spoke in faith for 45 years before something happened in his life. So can you hang on to something for 45 years, speaking faith over it until it manifests? All right, this example is Caleb, and I'm going to show you this in the Word, and I'm going to put the scriptures up here. And this is in Numbers chapter 13, and so I want you to get this picture of Caleb in your mind, and he's at age 40 right now, okay? He's a young man at age 40. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 through 32, says, "Then Caleb quieted the people." This is when they came back from the promised land after they seen the grapes and they seen, you know, the giants there. They seen all kinds of things there. And they says, and they saw how fruitful the land was. It says, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him," the other 10 guys, Joshua was standing right there saying, "Yeah, go, Caleb, we got this," said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. One translation says an evil report of the land which they had spied out. So Caleb, at age 40, and I hate to say this, but those 10 people kept the millions of people from going into their inheritance. And so you've got to be careful who you listen to. Look at somebody and say, "Be careful who you listen to." According to Hebrews 11:6, what pleases God? Faith. Faith is what pleases God. Now, I want to show you something what God said about Caleb. In Numbers 14, verse 24, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him," talking about a spirit of faith, "and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Now, we're going to fast forward to Joshua chapter 14, and this is when Caleb is 85 years old, and I want you to hear how this man of God is still speaking. Joshua 14, verses 10 through 12, it says, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as on that day that Moses sent me." You talk about faith. He's saying, "I'm 85, but I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. And he's saying, "Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day." That's faith, guys. Yes. And he hung on to that. He was speaking that. We don't hear all the stuff that went on for those 45 years, but he had to keep that confession for 45 years and speaking that and speaking that and speaking that. And so what I'm trying to tell you today, what's in your mix? And you got to keep the faith. You got to keep speaking faith over your situations and your circumstances, and you got to keep doing it. What's wrong with a lot of people and wrong with me is I'll pray in faith and I'll speak faith a few times and I'm like, "Well, it's not working." You know, and we want this microwave Christianity, this microwave God, hurry, 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 God, hurry. And God said, how long will you speak over this situation to see it change? Some of you need to keep speaking. I mean, there's a promises that God has given you, destinies, callings, whatever you want to call it, you know, the ideas that God's given you. You've got to keep speaking over that situation. It may look like death right now. It may look like this ain't going to ever happen, but you've got to keep speaking over it. There's things that I'm speaking over right now that I'm praying about that it is not happening. It is not manifesting. And to the point where I've had the enemy up here on my shoulder going, "This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy." And I'm like, "No, I know God spoke this, and I've got to keep speaking it. And if it's 45 years like Caleb, if it's when I'm 85 years old, then that so be it. That's when it's going to be. That's when it's going to happen. But I'm wanting it to happen today." And God's like, I'm not a microwave. How long will you stand in faith with me? And I know, and here's what's happened, guys. As I have been praying this and saying this and confessing it, and I've even shared some of it with you guys, in the midst of doing that, I'll have something happen, and God will, and it'll encourage me to keep standing. It's nothing's manifested yet, but I'll notice that there's a link that's happened, you know, and I can start feeling things start happening, and they're starting to manifest in the earth because I'm standing in faith. But I have to have this heart of, if it doesn't manifest overnight, I've got to stand on the Word of God and keep speaking it until it happens. Keep speaking it. Look at somebody and say, keep speaking it. Keep speaking it. I feel like that somebody needs to hear that today. If it's just for one person, then so be it. It's for me. I know that. It's keep speaking it. It's all about believing it. We got to keep acting. You got to keep believing. But in that, between the believing and the acting, is you got to keep speaking it. Because what that does is silence the voice of the enemy in your head. And it gets it down in your heart. Okay? Is this helping somebody?
Yes.
All right. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to do what Romans 10 said today. What we just learned about Romans 10. I know we have people that are watching, you know, by Church's Aid, and we have people that listen to this on the radio. But Romans 10, verses 8 through 10, I'm going to read that again. It says, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And so what I want to do today is I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation where you actually confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Then you do the believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. And if that's the first time you've ever prayed that, the very next step that you need to do of obedience is fall on the Lord in water baptism. And we can do that next Sunday. If you've never done that, you need to do that. That's part of your walk with the Lord. But I also, something else that I'll always do here at church on Sundays is I like to speak a blessing over you. Because with you coming to church here, you're basically telling me that you see me as your pastor. And so part of my responsibility as a pastor is to pray over you guys and speak blessings over you. And I enjoy doing that. And I want to pray this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yes.
May the Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Yes.
May the Lord be gracious unto you.
Yes.
And may the Lord give you his peace.
Yes.
May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today.
Yes.
May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you.
Yes.
May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous.
Yes.
And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. It's good to see. If you need special prayer about anything, come up here and see me after service. But God bless you. Have an awesome week this week, and we'll see you back here next Sunday. Amen.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. You kind of hit me today.